This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 23rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at a new building on the Western Illinois University campus that's going geothermal. We'll also get a forecast for the Christmas holiday from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, today's news. The Illinois House impeachment panel is taking a break for the remainder of this week. As Sean Crawford reports, when the hearings resume, the governor's attorney is expected to make his case.
The committee is at a bit of a standstill, waiting for word from federal prosecutors about who can be called to testify that won't interfere with the government's case against Rod Blagojevich. He's accused of what prosecutors term a political crime spree, including trying to sell the state's vacant U.S. Senate seat. With the panel having to play a waiting game, it's made it easier to grant the request of Blagojevich's attorney, Ed Ginson.
I'd like there to be an adjournment of approximately 1 week so I can put together the witnesses that I need to have available.
It's uncertain who Ginson will call to testify, and any of his witnesses will have to gain prior approval from the impeachment committee. The hearings will resume on Monday, December 29th, at the state capitol. The latest hearing examined Blagojevich's campaign fundraising, mainly donations of large sums. It's been alleged that money is part of pay-to-play politics, where jobs and contracts are given in exchange for contributions. But a campaign finance expert admitted it's hard to connect the dots. I'm Sean Crawford.
A Champaign County judge has set bond at $5 million for a woman charged in a fiery crash last week that killed a 24-year-old woman on Interstate 74 in Champaign. Elizabeth Drews appeared at the hearing by video from jail. She asked Judge Richard Klaus if she could comment, but he said no. The 53-year-old Drews is charged with aggravated driving under the influence and reckless homicide in the head-on collision on I-74. It killed Brittany Babb last Friday. State's Attorney Julia Reach says sheriff's deputies and firefighters have been to Drews' Champaign home 7 times since September 22nd on intoxication reports. She was arrested in September for driving under the influence. That case is still pending. Former University of Illinois basketball player Jamar Smith says he's feeling great after receiving a positive report from prosecutors to a Champaign County judge. Smith appeared before Judge Richard Klaus yesterday. The 21-year-old Peoria native was sentenced to 18 months probation in September after he violated his drunken driving probation by drinking in July. Smith pleaded guilty in February of 2007 to driving drunk into a tree, injuring former teammate Brian Carlwell. Yesterday, the judge told Smith he was partway there but couldn't afford one mistake. Smith has another 15 months of probation to serve. He used to begin playing basketball at the University of Southern Indiana in Evansville next week. The state's last casino is going to be built in the Chicago suburb of Des Plaines. The Illinois Gaming Board made that decision yesterday. Tasha Flournoy has more.
The board voted 3-1 in favor of a $125 million bid by Midwest Gaming Entertainment. The bid promises an additional $10 million for the state over the next 30 years. The company chairman, Neil Bloom, says Des Plaines is the best location for the casino, and his company's bid was the most lucrative option for the state.
We're going to develop, a bigger mixed-use project, and we certainly are going to generate over time the highest tax revenues for the state.
Bloom says Des Plaines also plans to share 40% of the annual gaming tax revenue to the neediest communities in Cook County. Midwest beat out competitors looking to build in Rosemont or Waukegan. Several board members said they couldn't vote for Rosemont because of past allegations that the village had mob ties. I'm Tasha Flournoy.
The mayor's race in Urbana will be a three-way race next April, 4 years after the Democrat in the race had no opposition from other parties. Republican Rex Bradfield will fill a GOP slot that was empty after Democrat Laurel Prussing won her primary 4 years ago. Prussing will also face Green Party candidate Durrell Cruz as she runs for a second term. Bradfield is an engineer and surveyor. He says his main theme will be expanding development, though he doesn't want to discount Urbana's reputation for environmental stewardship.
I'd just like to do things for Urbana, revisit the development codes and cut back on the cost of development to Urbana, at the same time making sure that development doesn't do the environmental harm that it is doing right now.
Bradfield refers to the size of parking lots in the newer developments and the amount of runoff from them. He also says the University of Illinois can help lure new professional jobs. Bradfield ran unsuccessfully against State Representative Naomi Jacobson 2 years ago. We'll hear from Durrell Cruz tomorrow. Incumbent Laurel Prussing has been out of the country and unavailable for an interview so far. A statewide health care watchdog group is critical of a new rating system of the country's nursing homes. The Health Care Council of Illinois says the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services five-star program often gives low marks to highly skilled facilities that treat residents needing special care. Meanwhile, retirement homes and other facilities that provide a minimum of care are being praised by CMS. Healthcare Council Executive Director Terry Sullivan says a nursing home should be judged not solely by the absence of public health programs, but rather the presence of quality ones.
Because if you admit high-skilled patients, and you admit you have a specialized program in pressure ulcers, your stars are going to be lower because you have more pressure ulcers because that's what you do. Same thing with if you have a really complex pain management program, you're admitting people who are reporting pain. That's going to drive your stars down.
For example, on Medicare's website, its review of the Carl Arbers Continuing Care Center in Savoy gets an overall rating of 1 star, partly because of a number of long-stay residents with problems like urinary tract infections or losing too much weight. Meanwhile, Heritage Nursing Center in Champaign earns 4 stars, largely due to its health inspections and a lower percentage of those with long-term health problems. The 5-star rating system was introduced last summer. Sullivan says his group's suggestions for improving it include focusing on the number of people healed from pressure sores rather than the number of overall residents suffering from them. He says CMS should also evaluate facilities based on the number of rehab and restorative programs they offer. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The term going green might conjure thoughts of cutting-edge technology, such as biofuels. But there's another green technology that's as old as the planet itself, and it's a key feature of a new building going up at Western Illinois University in Macomb. Illinois Public Radio's Nick Wilkins reports.
Western Illinois University is a busy place. In addition to the normal hustle and bustle of campus, there's a major construction project going on. Perhaps more significant than the new multicultural building itself is what's underneath it.
They're about 425 feet deep total, or each well, and there's about 26 of them.
That's Ted Renner. He's a construction project manager for the school. And no, the university is not drilling for oil, though it might look like it. These wells are for a geothermal heating and cooling system. Renner says Western chose to install the system in an effort to go green and to save some green.
The system that we're putting in the ground will pay for itself over an 8 to 10 year period.
Geothermal energy is arguably the oldest heating and cooling system on Earth. It's rooted in the days when early humans took shelter from extreme temperatures by going into underground caves. Dr. Roger Valladaro is director of Western's Institute for Environmental Studies. He says even though most people don't live in caves today, the concept behind geothermal energy is essentially the same. He says it works a lot like the radiator on a car.
What you're doing is trying to take the heat out of the air and transfer that into your house. Now, if it's really, really cold, it gets more difficult to pull heat out of the air. So the idea with the geothermal energy is actually to do that heat transfer in the ground.
Valladaro says having this transfer underground offers a huge advantage.
The ground temperature remains approximately constant year-round.
So during the winter, when it's 15 degrees outside, it's actually more like 55 underground. Likewise, when it's 90 during the summer, it's still around 55 underground. Valladaro says technology has improved the system. He says advances in drilling methods have made it easier to create the large wells needed for a geothermal system. He says the fluid used in the system's pipes for transferring the heat has improved as well. These systems might seem practical for large structures such as Western's new multicultural center. However, Brian Waller says they can be applied at the residential level as well.
This year we probably were averaging at least 2 of them going in a week.
Waller is co-owner of Arnold Brothers Heating and Cooling based in Macomb. He says geothermal systems for homes have sold relatively well lately.
With the increase in natural gas and particularly propane, this year has been a banner year for us as far as number of units going in.
In addition to being efficient, geothermal systems are very environmentally friendly. It's an all-electric system, meaning when it kicks on, you might hear something like this versus the sound of a conventional gas home heating system. Even when a conventional system is not producing heat, it's burning small amounts of the gas and thus creating carbon. Waller's geothermal system just uses electricity to pump the fluid throughout the system and to run the fans. So geothermal might seem like the perfect choice for someone looking to go green, but it does have its drawbacks. WIU's Dr. Valladaro says geothermal systems need a lot of land for installation of the underground infrastructure. He also says certain places are not suited for the technology.
You obviously couldn't, or well, you shouldn't be drilling a bunch of holes and then running a bunch of plumbing through a place that has a high groundwater table.
Valladaro says cost is another factor.
The upfront cost definitely is higher than more traditional systems. It's the labor and the materials, because again, you're burying pipes in the ground. That has a lot of inherent limitations, and anytime you go do something in the ground, you never know exactly what you're going to hit.
One more possible setback is the building itself. Brian Waller, who owns the heating and cooling business, says it's cheaper and easier to install a geothermal system in a new home versus trying to retrofit one into a building that has an existing conventional system. Despite these limitations, it appears as if policymakers would like to see more geothermal systems. Illinois offers grants of up to $50,000 for nonprofits and public institutions to install such systems. Waller says there are some federal incentives for homeowners as well.
A homeowner can deduct, it's up to 30% of the installed cost or a cap of $2,000. And it's just going to be a line item on our 2008 taxes, and they made it retroactive back to the first of the year.
Once a geothermal system is installed, the average person might never notice it. There are no large solar panels or towering wind turbines stretching skyward. But the next time you think of going green, you might consider what's under your feet. I'm Nick Wilkins reporting.
The front of the holiday weather forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff includes a winter weather advisory until noon tomorrow morning for Champaign and several other counties in east central Illinois, including DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, McLean, Piatt, and Vermilion. A winter weather advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for Christian, Coles, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Sangamon, and Shelby counties. Scott says tonight we'll see light snow this morning in Champaign-Urbana, changing to sleet and freezing rain, maybe around an inch or so of accumulation, and a high of 30 degrees with winds out of the south at 15 to 25 miles an hour. In the northern part of the two states, 2 to 4 inches of snow are very possible. In central sections, light snow this morning, changing to sleet and freezing rain. In the south, mixed precipitation and freezing rain, changing to rain. Highs today will range from 25 north to 42 south. For tonight, in northern Illinois and Indiana, periods of snow, some sleet mixing in at times. Central sections will see freezing rain and sleet changing to rain from south to north. Periods of rain in the south. Lows will take place early this evening from 25 north to 42 south, and then slowly rising temperatures toward morning. For Champaign-Urbana tonight, freezing rain changing to rain late, the low early, 30, then in the middle 30s by tomorrow morning. For Christmas Eve, in northern and northwest Illinois, periods of snow, maybe a little more accumulation. Elsewhere, rain likely in the morning, then turning to snow showers and flurries in the afternoon. And high temperatures taking place in the morning, ranging from 30 north to 50 south. The high Christmas Eve in Champaign-Urbana, 38. Tomorrow night, becoming partly cloudy and colder, the low 18. Then for Christmas Day, partly to mostly cloudy and rather quiet, the high 32 in Champaign-Urbana. Friday, cloudy with some rain likely, and a high up to 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 23rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.